Isaiah chapter 14, verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Dear congregation, we read in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 3 through to verse 4 these words. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The apostle there blessed God for the great and effectual comfort that he and his fellow labourers have known in their hearts. He's rejoicing here. He has been touched by the comfort of the Lord, and he is supported. Well, he blesses God for it, along with his fellow labourers. They have been comforted. Now, as we note there, an end of them being comforted was that they might be instruments in comforting others. Verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. And it reminds us that it is only the believer who can truly comfort others, having first known the comfort of the Lord. Yes, unbelievers can, to some measure, comfort others, but it is only the believer who can be of such assistance and be such a blessing to others. Well, Paul blessed God that he had been comforted and he was being used to help others. Having known by experience, they could so speak and be a blessing to others. Comfort known and comfort shared. Well, we read here in our text this morning, as we come to the beginning of this chapter, the Lord willing, we shall note some of the verses here in this chapter, these words, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Now, in the previous chapter, Isaiah prophesied concerning the Babylonian captivity and what would take place to some measure. Well, in this chapter, immediately following on, comes words of great comfort. There was the prophecy concerning the Babylonian captivity, and that would bring sorrow, but immediately there are words of great comfort. And much here for us. Now, in this prophecy, and particularly from this point, there is much concerning Christ and the gospel dispensation. Yes, there are certain things already in this prophecy, particularly noting Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 9 and Isaiah 35. But now from this point, we particularly note our blessed Saviour and the gospel dispensation. Well, in this familiar chapter, after a word of comfort, which we have in verse 1 and verse 2, there are a number of things for us. We are presented with John the Baptist, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. John the Baptist is a harbinger, would go on before the Lord, preparing the way, and the Lord would come. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. So there's the word concerning John and the coming of our Lord. We know those familiar words in verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. It will come true. His word will stand. And then these words in verse 9. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. We ought to behold him, as the people then, so today. And particularly we are to behold God the Son. And in thinking of him, we come to verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. So then we have much concerning Christ here in this chapter. And as we've gone through those things, what comfort is afforded to us? However, this morning, We'll come to the first verse and also look into verse 2 a little. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Here Isaiah, he is to comfort the people. Let's come to these words, and first of all we'll consider God's servant, secondly God's people, and thirdly God's comfort. First of all, God's servant. Comfort ye my people, save your God. Now as we think of these words, have we not often found comfort in them? And they come direct to us. However, we must first consider that they are a word, first of all, to Isaiah and others with him. Comfort ye my people. Now we've known the blessing of being comforted in just reading those words. But all consider the exhortation, firstly to Isaiah and others. Comfort ye, my people, save your God. Isaiah was commissioned and instructed to go and speak a message of comfort. And not just him, but all God's prophets. There was hope for Jerusalem. The captivity would come to an end. And there was pardon, as we note in verse 2. But also further, message of great comfort in view of the gospel, as we see unfold in this chapter. Where Isaiah and others were commissioned to speak. But in further reflecting upon the things contained here in this chapter, we can think of John the Baptist, the apostles, and all ministers of the gospel. We think of these God's servants first. Comfort ye my people, save your God. Now Isaiah was to go with a message of comfort here. Not always was it the case. Just turn back to chapter 6. What a difficult message he had there. He was commissioned to go and speak. Isaiah 6 verse 9, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. What a message. Hear ye indeed, but understand not. There would be blindness still. There would be deafness still. Yet Isaiah was to go with such a message. And God's servants must be faithful in delivering such a message concerning unbelief, sin, and the judgment of God. The wrath of God must be presented to the people. It must be done with such a heart of love and compassion. But it must be presented. Yet we live in a country where so many are unfaithful in this. They focus on one or two things, but they are not showing the need. They miss what is so important. Ministers of the gospel must warn. The law must be presented. How important that is. These are not popular subjects, but the faithful minister of the gospel with love in his heart must bring these truths before men and women. Consider further. The minister of the gospel, where there is the need, with love again in his heart, must bring a word of rebuke. You remember Paul, what he wrote to Timothy. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Reprove, rebuke. It's a necessary word. And the minister is to consider that the Lord rebukes because of love. And so the minister must rebuke because of love. So there will be a message of warning. A message concerning sin. There will be the need at times to rebuke. But also there is the need to bring a message of comfort. And Isaiah and the other prophets, John the Baptist and the apostles and all God's servants are commissioned. Yes, these other things, but they're also commissioned to bring a word of comfort. Comfort ye, my people. You see, it's directed to Isaiah and all servants of God. comfort ye, my people, saith your God. And the Lord is saying, amongst other things, fulfill your duty in comforting the people of God. And why? Because God desires his people to be comforted. Just note that here. Comfort ye, my people. Mine eye is upon them. And I desire that they will be comforted through the preaching of the word. So comfort ye, my people. Come alongside them. Visit them in their homes. Visit them in the hospital, on their dying bed, that they might know comfort. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. The Lord desires. He knows our frame. He knows our sorrows. And he desires his people to be comforted. Consider Christ, he is the sympathizing high priest. And so he exhorts his servants, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. He is touched, Hebrews 4, verse 15. He is touched, he's the sympathizing high priest. And so he says to his servants, comfort ye, my people. God, having favour towards us, in his mercy raises up men to go and preach the gospel and bring a word of comfort. See how God uses his servants instrumentally. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Return again to those words in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be also able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Having comfort known, comfort is shared. Comfort ye, my people. Remember Timothy, he was sent by Paul to the brethren at Thessalonica. And what do we read in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 2? And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow labourer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. To comfort you. They were looking, but they had struggles. Some of them doubtless had doubts. Timothy was sent to comfort them. They were going through battles. They were facing valleys. They were going through sorrows. They had their enemies. They were in need of comfort. And so we all are. And so the Lord has his servants. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Go and comfort them. God is saying to his servants. And they must attend to the sheep as a loving shepherd. And we read in verse 2 these words, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received at the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now we have here the word comfortably. From the Hebrew word is labi. It speaks of the heart. Speak ye to the heart of Jerusalem. Comfortably, to the heart, that they might know comfort. We could sum it up like this, from the heart to the heart, that they might know comfort. Speak ye comfortably to the heart of Jerusalem. And that comforts us, doesn't it? The Lord is able to use his word in an effectual way, and through the Holy Spirit apply comfort to the soul. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Now we have thought of Isaiah and other prophets. We thought of John the Baptist. We consider him from verse 3. We can think also of the apostles, but all ministers of the gospel. But there is a lesson for us all here this morning. God will and has used believers to comfort others. He's used you. We have comforted one another, and we are to comfort one another. In doing so, let us be mindful of heavenly things. This is how the apostle reasons in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18. The apostle, having written to them concerning the return of Christ, said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Yes, in verse 1 we think particularly of God's servants, but we all can be used by the Lord and have been used, and you've been used to me and to one another. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. And are we not shown a great lesson? What is the best comfort we can bring? It's the comfort that comes from God through his word. Comfort one another with these words. Yes, we will say loving words from our hearts. We will sow sympathy. We will come alongside. But all our aim is to bring the word to them. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, because it is God's word that is so used and helps us in affliction. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Now these words have been heard by thousands over these last few weeks, but only a small proportion know the comfort that is contained therein. Do you know the comfort? I know, dear brethren, you do. And these words, they come again. Yes, we think of God's servants, but we already got comfort, haven't we? Comfort ye, my people, save your God. Just the word brings such help, doesn't it? Comfort. Yes, you may go to a shop and you may look at buying a bed and it says comfortable, very comforting. But when you come to this verse, and when you know it's from the Lord, it does you so much good. Comfort ye, my people, save your God. Well, let's consider secondly, God's people. Comfort ye, my people. When we think of the need of comfort, how much sorrow the unbeliever has, and yet they do not know comfort. Oh, that through the Lord, yet their hearts would be opened, that they would know such comfort that we read of here. For it is comfort for the people of God. Comfort ye, my people, the unbeliever. How do they go on? But they do. But the people of God, they have this comfort afforded for them and awaiting them. My people. And here we particularly consider the elect. Dear brethren, we are the Lord's people, chosen by grace. In Ephesians 1 verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He viewed mankind and he chose a people. What grace is manifested to us, dear brother. After writing concerning election and adoption, Paul wrote in Ephesians 1 verse 4, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And the chief reason, dear brethren, why he chose a people was for the praise of his glory. Oh, what amazing grace in eternity there was before the world was created. My people, such grace towards them as he considered them and gave them to Christ before the world was created. And when we think of the two branches of predestination, election and reprobation, how can we thank him enough for his grace towards us? It is a cause of great thanksgiving. And how much we owe to God's grace and to our blessed Redeemer, according as he hath chosen us in him. How much we owe. And dear brethren, we're thankful for the Lord enabling us so far to give him the praise. But oh, we haven't praised him enough, have we? Oh, for such grace towards us. We have but a short time till we enter heaven. We have but a short time until we enter the heavenly world, when heaven and earth will be one after that great day. Are we not thankful we have an eternity to praise the Lord? What grace towards us. He chose us. Such favour. McShane wrote, chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hid him in the Saviour's side. By thy Spirit sanctified, teach me, Lord, on earth to show by my love how much I are. We owe so much. When we read these words, comfort ye, my people, save your God, are we not taught that we owe so much because we belong to him and it's all of grace? How much God must love us to choose us and to desire to comfort us in our sorrows. What grace that we belong to him. Now we were chosen in Christ, Ephesians 1 verse 4, according as ye have chosen us in him. Simply, having a respect to Christ, because of his infinite grace, we were chosen. His mind was on Christ. Now those that belonged to the Father, by electing grace, were given to Christ. Our Lord said, not long before he went to the cross, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. We were chosen and given to Christ. How wonderful that is. We were given to Christ, and the help we needed, as we see in Psalm 89, was laid on him, and he came into this world in order to fulfill all righteousness, and that we might be helped, saved, and blessed. We were given to Christ. How amazing. We thought this morning of the unspeakable gift. And yet you, dear brethren, were a gift to Christ before he came to this world. How amazing. And he so loved you. And he came with such love in his heart. And he went all the way to the cross because he was mindful of you, his gift. And he died there for you. We were chosen, given to Christ. And then, upon the event of faith, we were justified, but then also we were adopted. We belong to the Lord, we're in his family, and we can cry, Abba, Father. Romans 8, verse 15, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And we can keep going to him. In all our sorrows, and we can pour out our hearts and cry, Abba, Father. How blessed we are. The Father chose us. We were given to Christ. We were God's by electing grace. We were given to Christ. And upon the event of faith through the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of adoption, we were found in the family, having first been justified. And we can cry, Abba, Father. The apostle goes on, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And we come to these words, my people, my name is there. Yes, at times Satan may whisper. Satan may seek to sift you in the sieve. But the Spirit comes. He comes to calm the soul and remind you that you belong to God. Abba, Father. And he is our Father. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 18. And will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Consider he is a father to us. You young ones here, consider your parents, your father, your mother, and what they are to you. But then we look higher and consider our heavenly Father. And such a father he is to us. Will be a father unto you. He is a father to his children. And we can consider here the Father desiring his children to be comforted. Comfort ye, my people. He's got a desire for his children here. Comfort ye, my people. Consider Christ. He has a desire for his seed. Comfort ye, my people. Dear brethren, he is our Father. And so he desires us to be comforted. Yes, he will at times desire us to be rebuked because he so loves us. At times he will desire us to be warned so that we are brought back from a path of backsliding. But he desires to comfort us. He's our covenant God And so he will see to it that we are comforted. How blessed we are to be his people. He's thinking of you in such a loving way, and he will see that you are comforted. The Holy Spirit, who so loves us, as we see in Romans 15, so will come and comfort your soul. And that leads us to consider thirdly and finally this morning, God's comfort. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Spurgeon wrote, they need it, and they shall have it. I was reminded by my mother yesterday that she used to sit up all night when I was very ill. And she would have the water boiling in the lounge, and there was steam everywhere. And the wallpaper was coming off the wall, and there my mother would be when I was very young, there comforting me. And we can think of our mother's comfort or our father's comfort, and what comfort it is, but oh, what comfort we have here. And we need it. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. They need it and they shall have it. Comfort. At the root of the word, it means to sigh, to have pity, to console. To sigh, to have pity, to console. One may be upset and another comes along to console. They sigh. The word is used here to help us understand comfort. This sighing. Maybe a child falls over and the parent comes. And they're moved, they take pity. You children, remember, you've done it often, haven't you? And you've fallen over and you're in tears. And you go to your mum or to your dad and they take pity upon you. I used to have so many holes in my knees, in my trousers rather. I used to fall over often. And my mum would put patches all over my trouser knees. She took pity. The Lord takes pity. The Lord has a pity. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He has such a heart for you. And he will comfort you. Comfort ye my people. Let's think of one or two things here. First of all, thinking of Isaiah's day, there was comfort for the people of God then. The Babylonian captivity would not last forever. It would come to an end. There was hope. Comfort ye my people. Chapter 39, there's the news of the Babylonian captivity. Chapter 40, there's a word of comfort. Further, there's a word of comfort of pardon. The Babylonian captivity would end. Also, there is pardon. We know why they had to go into captivity. But here comes the news of pardon. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. So there was a word of comfort for them immediately in those days, but then further in view of the gospel. And let's consider this a little further as we close this morning. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Comfort. Firstly, comfort in view of Christ. In this chapter, we are presented with the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just come with me to verse 9. One of many examples. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the city of Judah, behold your God. Behold him. Behold the Messiah, for he is God. Behold your God. Comfort. And in life, what a blessing it is to behold God. To come into the gatherings of the saints, and to behold the beauty of the Lord. Psalm 27. And to behold our King by faith. What a comfort that is, isn't it? We go through sorrows, and we weep in our sorrows, but then we can look up and behold Christ, and we can exercise faith. We can behold him and consider all is well for us, and that we are so blessed through Christ. Behold your God, comfort in view of Christ. But then consider verse 11. We'll come back to this, the Lord willing, in a few weeks. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently shall gently lead those that are with young. He gathers the lambs with his arm. Compassion there, but also he supports them with his strengthening grace. He has such a care for those who are weak, those who are struggling. Comfort here, isn't there? He gently leads those that are with young. He feeds. How he feeds us, dear brethren. Many know these words. Many hear them sing at this song, rather, at this time of the year. But we know them in our hearts. How the shepherd feeds our souls. Comfort in view of Christ. He takes a delight in comforting us. He's the good shepherd that leads us through the valley and will be with us in the valley. Dear brethren, one day you have to face the valley. The valley of the shadow of death. But let me assure you, Christ will be with you in that valley. And he will comfort you. Some may struggle in that valley. But I assure you, right before the end, if not before, you will know comfort. Even though you may be unconscious, you will know comfort. For it's declared in Psalm 23. Comfort in view of Christ. How can we face death? It's because we have Christ at our side. How can my mother face death? Because Christ is at our side. And she will be there to welcome her. He will be there to welcome her home. We can face death because of Christ. He is called the consolation of Israel. Luke 2 verse 25, there's Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting. Consolation, what a lovely description for Christ. The Greek word speaks of a calling near, an exhortation, a summons to one side, a consolatory exhortation to comfort. He calls near, he calls near, he exhorts, he summons us to comfort us. And Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. His eye was upon him. He was rejoicing in him. There was salvation through him. Oh, look to the consolation of Israel. Wait for him. Be looking to him. He's alive in the glory. And he is there for you. Comfort in view of Christ. In view of the future. Whatever these next weeks bring, or years we have in our lives, we can take comfort, dear brethren. Christ will comfort us. Secondly, comfort in view of sins forgiven. Verse 2, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Through Christ there is forgiveness. The Lord is satisfied. We see that there in verse 2. The Lord Jesus Christ has made satisfaction for our sins. And it has infinite value, Christ's satisfaction. And there is pardon. There's judicial pardon. All our sins were forgiven. My mother was telling me last night when she was younger, she used to struggle. Were my sins forgiven? And then there came a time she knew it. She was a Christian, but she struggled. All our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. Why? Because of that judicial forgiveness, that pardon. Thy sins are forgiven, our Lord said to that woman who came in weeping. Go in peace, and so she did. What a word of comfort. There's judicial forgiveness. All our sins were forgiven by God, acting there in the capacity of a judge. No condemnation, now I dread. Justified, pardoned, accepted. But we can also think of fatherly forgiveness. There are fatherly chastisements. There is learning for us. But there is fatherly forgiveness. And we can take comfort. If we failed the Lord, and I know we have this past week, yes, we grieve him, but he's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to say sorry to him, to acknowledge your sins, to confess them to him, and he will forgive. He's such a father. And as we think of this here, he desires to comfort you. So he's waiting for you, that you would go to him on your knees and confess your sins, because he, in his amazing grace, wants to be there comforting you. Comfort in view of pardon. We grieve him. We sin against him. But he wants to comfort us when we humble ourselves and look unto him for pardon. Thirdly, comfort in affliction. Comfort in affliction. Here the people are brought the news of the Babylonian captivity. They know that they have failed the Lord, but there is comfort for them. There were difficult times ahead for them, but there was comfort for them. There's difficult times for the people of God. We suffer affliction. We face difficulties. There is pain and sorrow. The Lord's people suffer bodily pain. There are many afflictions. But think here of comfort in affliction. And God would have us comforted in affliction. He sees his children hurting. He will come to their aid. And how often he uses his word. Psalm 119, verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. My comfort in my affliction. And that's why my mum wants me just to read the word of God when I visit her every time. Because she knows where her comfort is to be found. And we do as well. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. He comforts us in affliction through his word. He so deals with us. Powerful his word is, how effectual it comes to our soul. Think of verse 11 again. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. How he deals and how he speaks, there's that feeding. It reminds us, dear brethren, we can be a blessing as believers as a whole by bringing a verse of scripture. Because the Lord will use it in his good time. Comfort in affliction. We must go through valleys. We must go through storms. We must go across the Lake of Galilee. We must go across to a storm on our way to heaven. But there's comfort for us in the valley. It's so amazing, isn't it? The unconverted, they look at their trials. Oh, what a trial it is. We can look at our trials. Yes, it's a trial. But we can take comfort. There's comfort in that trial. There's comfort in the valley. I do not know what valleys you have before you, except one day you must go through the last valley. But I can assure you, there is comfort in every valley you must go into. Every trial, comfort's awaiting you. And why? Because Christ will be there with you. Comfort in affliction. And what a comfort. He stands alongside us in our trials. Fourthly and finally, comfort in the last valley. Comfort in the last valley. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Over these past few days, it's been a great joy to me to see the Lord comforting my mother. And I wish you could all see her at this time. But you know her testimony. She just speaks of the Lord. There is comfort in the last valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yea, though I walk. Dear brethren, one day you must come to the beginning of that valley and you'll begin to walk through the valley. And it's a valley, the valley of the shadow of death. It won't be easy. It won't be an easy walk in many a way. But there the psalmist Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We may be troubled, but I will fear no evil, because Christ will see me through. Thou art with me. What a comfort. When I go to see my mother, the Lord is between me and my mother. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Lord's with us. The shepherd's with us. What a comfort that is. Dear brethren, when the time comes for you, and I must lovingly prepare you this morning for your own death, take comfort, the Lord will be there when you're walking through that valley. The word will be applied, and he will be there at the end of the valley. I said to my granny 11 months ago, the foot of the bed, granny, the Lord is with you in this valley. And you're soon going to see the Lord before you. And that's the comfort we have. The Lord will be with us in that last valley. And soon, dear brethren, we will see the Lord. If there's anyone here without Christ, flee to my Saviour. So that you would have comfort in that valley. And that you would see Jesus at the end of that valley. Comfort in the last valley. And how precious that comfort is. We think of the one walking that valley themselves, but others, the family. How precious is the comfort that comes from heaven. How blessed I am for God's amazing grace towards me that I enter a valley knowing comfort. We're in closing. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16 through to verse 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which have loved us and have given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Everlasting consolation. Comfort in life. Comfort for eternity. What comfort will fill our hearts in glory to come. We will ever be reminded all is well. We'll never be comforted by Christ. Never not comforted. Everlasting consolation. And good hope through grace. And in view of that everlasting consolation which is in God, he will comfort our hearts. Dear brethren, there's no shortage of comfort with God. What the Lord does, he dispenses it out to us a bit at a time. As much as we can bear on earth. Because we couldn't bear it all at once. But he dispenses it out a bit at a time. And what we need, sufficient for the hour, that we might go on to serve him, to speak for him, and to work for him. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. And may you all today rest in the comfort that comes from heaven. The comforts of this world may help us to a point, but the comfort from heaven will see us to heaven. Amen.